You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 396. Today is Sunday, April 8th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Go out to iTunes and write a review. Retweet the show links and tell all your friends. We would appreciate it. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss what the team's fast start means long term. We'll take a look at Dansby's offense so far, Julio's first two games, and Preston Tucker's future with the team. But first, a quick break. So, the start to the season, guys, has been nothing short of amazing. After taking 2 of 3 in Colorado, the Braves are 6-3 on the season. They've won all three series they've played. Heading into Sunday's game in Colorado, they led the NL in runs scored, batting average, on base, and slugging.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The starting pitchers are second to last in the NL in ERA and dead last in FIP. The bullpen, however, are third best in the NL in ERA and middle of the pack at eighth best in FIP. So, Ham, heading into the season, we all figured a 500 record was pretty much the ceiling for this team.
Yeah.
Have these first three series changed your mind any? And do you think that the team is ahead of schedule?
I don't know. There are a lot of things that don't feel sustainable here. I mean, I love what Preston Tucker is doing, and he's a great story, but there's no reason to think that this is something he's just going to keep up over a long stretch of time. I feel like we would have had some indicators as he was in the minors and everything. So I'd love to be surprised by that, like everybody else, but I don't think there's just too little data for me to feel confident about him. Same thing with Flaherty. The dude is a career slash line of 220, 291, 360, but through his 27 at bats this year, at least through yesterday's, 414, 514, 552. That doesn't feel sustainable either. So I think there are some things that we're getting a lift from some things we didn't expect and aren't sustainable. But on the other hand, there's some things that feel real to me. I think Albies is better than his batting average. I think he is a revelation. Freeman, when healthy, is maybe the best first baseman in the National League, if not, one of the top three in the majors. I think we'll talk about this. I think Dansby is legitimate in some ways. I think the bullpen is for real in a lot of ways. So I do not think ultimately we're as good as the team that you reflected in those stats that you sort of said to start. I don't think we are that team. I think we're playing above our heads. I think we may be a little bit more ahead of schedule than maybe I thought we were at the beginning of the season. I mean, for me, last thing I'll say is, it's all about ifs, right? The more ifs you have on the team, I think the less you can count as success. And, you look at teams like the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Indians, and they just have less ifs or less unknowns on their team. And so I think you expect them to be better. I feel like we still have a lot of ifs. So I still feel like we have a long way to go, but maybe there's fewer ifs than I thought there were to start the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and, my one response to you, Ham, is that Tucker and Flaherty are great stories, but they're also going to be like gone in a couple weeks, if not a week. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that to me it has been amazing. I'm not taking anything away. I haven't had this much fun in a season since I can't remember. You know what I mean? But like, 3/5 of the starting rotation right now are likely not what we're going to see by the end of the year or certainly next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Folty and Newcomb showed huge potential this week, and that really could, mean steps forward for them. And this is really the start of the turnaround in the starting pitching. But Julio, we'll get to, is just, very troubling. And McCarthy and of course Sanchez are not going to be part of the long term picture.
Do you think we're closer with that?
I think we're sort of closer, right? I think we're starting to see the starting rotation, and we see like half of the offense. Like you said, Ozzie looks like a superstar.
Yeah.
My God. Ozzie is just a game changer, and I just love it, Dansby's gone crazy. Like you said, we'll talk about him a little bit later in the show, but I'm ready to believe there. Freddie's like top 5 bat in all of baseball, you know. And Ender is starting to heat up. I mean, Ender's going to be Ender, and he's going to hit for some average and get on base, and he's going to steal some bases. But that leaves left field, right field, third base, catcher, which we really still don't know, you know. But the foundation of the offense and up the middle with Dansby and Ozzy, you know, yeah, maybe we are a little farther along. I mean, I didn't think we were going to see this great stuff from Ozzy already. And I mean, we saw in this Colorado series, he can just put the team on his back.
He can change
it's
a
amazing.
Game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He can change a game. He did it with his glove and his bat this weekend. Curtis, what do you see?
Well, you guys touched on a lot of it. And you hope that it's like the mix, that maybe it's 91, not to suggest that they're going to go worst to first and be playing in the World Series this year. But
if they don't, I'm going to be super disappointed. Sorry, go on.
But that team had a lot of really old dudes on it that contributed and sort of created the sense of what could be. And then the young guys sort of came and filled in those gaps as that team went along. So hopefully, you know, success breeds itself. So you hope that when they start to win, that the guys that come up, then the expectation is not, oh, we're going to win 74 games. It's that we are going to be competitive, that we are going to win games, that we are going to take series from teams that consider themselves World Series contenders, whatever it might be, and not look that in the face and be afraid of that competition. So
Ozzy said that today. I mean, sorry to cut you off, Curtis, but like that was one thing. He's like, we're planning to get into the playoffs. Everybody on this team is fighting for that every game. We're 9 games in and they're feeling that way. That's certainly something, you know.
Yeah, they look like it too. I mean, they really do.
Well, when we were texting about it last night, I mean, how many April 7th games are you glued to the edge of your seat by? In for how many years has this been going on now with this rebuild, or just the Braves being bad, that you were so excited about a 2-2 game against the Rockies? You know, I mean, I couldn't turn that game off, and my kids were watching that game totally enthralled. I mean, that's been a while too. So the energy is definitely there with this team and all the guys that you mentioned. And I mean, Dansby, even if it comes back to earth some, which of course it will, you hope that it's more what we saw a couple of years ago when he first came up than what we sort of struggled with last year, and that it just all builds on top of each other. But yeah, I mean, of course, it's a lot of guys, like you said, that there's so many people that are contributing that really have no future place on this team even beyond the next month or so. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, they potentially could have lost one game this year.
Exactly. Right. They had one bad game. It was that opening game against the Nationals, and the other two losses, right, was
they were both extra inning games.
Well, yeah,
the Phillies wasn't, but that was a ninth inning. I don't think that Phillies loss where we thought that Borges should have scored.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right. But if Borges gets his foot down,
we win
for
that
God's
game.
Sakes.
No,
we win
but that
game.
That we went to 11 innings in that game.
Right. But we wouldn't have had he scored.
Oh, sorry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The two games that we lost, other than that blowout by the Nationals, were both extra inning games that we had our chances to win. I mean, obviously the Colorado game a little less so. But I mean, if Borges scores in that Phillies game, we sweep the Phillies in that series. And I know I'm now repeating exactly what you said.
So do you guys think the season goes much differently if they don't have that like amazing comeback on opening day against the Phillies? Because it could have, right? I mean, if we're talking about, you know, culture of winning and things building on each other, if they lose, if Kapler doesn't pull Nola out at 68 pitches or whatever it was, and the offense looks totally lifeless and they lose 5-1 and it's just like everything we thought the offense was going to be and the team could be, this whole season could be different. But that's not what this season is so far. I mean, it just really has a magic feel. It is just fun beyond my wildest dreams so far.
Absolutely.
All right, so keeping with that, Kurt, it's been amazing. We've covered that. What's your favorite moment so far?
Well, you sort of just stole the thunder for me there, but it's that first game, and it's the Mark Akis walk-off three-run homer after being down 5-0, and just all the points that you just touched on. What happens if that opening day? I mean, we already sort of talked about this on a show. I don't know if that was Ham and I last week, but if you come out, if you're flat, if you get blown out in opening day, how does that steamroll? And instead, you get the exact opposite of that, which is you get this thrilling comeback where you're totally out of a game. And it's just all the home runs and all the excitement and everything that comes with it. And you have to believe, just as you were just saying, that that is sort of propelled the team in a positive direction, as opposed to if the other had happened where you just get walked on opening day. I mean, I think when you win a game like that, and even losing the next day, again, you went to overtime, extra innings in that game, it could have won that game. And so now in the back of their minds, and even in the front of their minds, maybe it's like, we're never out of it. We're in every game. We can compete every game. Even getting blown out by Washington, you come back the next 2 days and sort of blow Washington out, including pounding Scherzer.
Yep.
So that could be my second favorite moment.
Save some for the rest of us.
Well, Steve stole mine, so I'll steal yours. But mine is totally the opening day, the walk-off three-run homer by Mark Akis.
Well, and it's also that we won two series against playoff teams from last year, right? I mean, it's not like we're just beating up on bottom feeders.
Well, and the Phillies have big aspirations for themselves this year.
Yep.
And every national guy picked the Phillies to beat over finish with a better record than the Braves. Absolutely. Yeah. Hammy?
Yeah, I agree with everything Kurt said. I guess one other is Newcomb's start today, actually, especially after he struggled a bit against the Nats, to come back third pitcher ever to throw as many scoreless innings with as many strikeouts, giving up no walks at Coors Field in the history of Coors Field. That's not an easy place to pitch. And for him, and especially for him with his control issues, to really buckle down today was inspiring. I was expecting to. I had stuff to do, so I missed the start of the game. I was expecting to turn it on and see, a couple of runs on the board, us close. But for him to do what he did today was a huge boost. I think both for him,
And let it be his coming out party, and it could be.
Yeah,
something may have really clicked for him, and they'll be one step, two steps forward, one step back. But I really do think this was a big moment.
He's got it in him, right? He can now look back at this and remember what went well, and he's got a frame of reference for pitching, all-star baseball.
Yep.
What about you, Stevie?
Yeah, so I'll go with the first night in Colorado, Dansby being a home run away from the cycle in the fifth inning. And really, I could just lump that in with Dansby's entire season. It's just been a joy. I pull for Dansby, and it's just great to see him succeeding. It's just great for the team and its future, the whole thing. I mean, yeah. But that Friday night, him just crushing it, so good. And I would give a runner up, and it kind of ties back to the National Series. The Preston Tucker's consecutive three-run homers on those consecutive days against the Nats. And like you said, Kurt, after getting blown out, it was like, okay, nice story against the Phillies, who are still figuring stuff out too. We face the Nationals and we don't look good in that first game. Here it is. We're coming back to earth. And then Tucker kind of put the team on his back, Tucker and Folty, and just turned the whole season around again with those two wins. Gosh, it's been so much fun.
Folty looked good.
Oh, Folty looked good. All right, guys. Next up is fair or foul, where you agree with something fair or disagree with it foul. And we will start with Dansby. So as we said, he's looking much better at the plate. Through Sunday's game in Colorado, he's slashing .382, .400, .618. And, of course, went back-to-back with Mark Akis, something we're going to say a ton this year.
Yeah, totally.
Ham, fair or foul, you're ready to believe that Swanson has turned the corner.
I believe a lot of it. It's it was interesting. I was sort of trying to get into the numbers a little bit because it is such a small sample size. And one of the stats Baseball Reference has is a stat called AIR, A-I-R, and that basically says – it's basically a stat where they say, are they in pitcher friendly situations or hitter friendly situations, whether the park and the pitchers that they're facing. And for the most part, the Braves this season have been in pitcher friendly situations. So Dansby is succeeding when things are not geared for him to succeed. So that's one thing to take a lot of heart in. He's also hitting for a lot of power. I mean, you mentioned his slugging percentage. That's promising as well. He's making a lot of contact, and he's hitting the ball really hard when he does, which is great, which means he is being aggressive. He feels confidence. He's sort of putting, you know, taking the action to the other team. So, I mean, that's a lot to like. You know, some things that make you maybe a little nervous. He's got a 440 BABIP, batting average of balls in play. So he's a little bit luckier than the average hitter. I think he's making his own luck by hitting the ball really hard and squaring up on it. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt. He has struck out at least one time every game. He's got a high OBP, but he's only walked once all season. So you feel like that's going to catch up to him a little bit, maybe. So I think he's going to come down to earth a bit. Obviously, I mean, these are like Ted Williams numbers that he has right now. But but I think this is more of the real Dansby that we're seeing now than what we saw last season. So I'm going to say fair. I believe it,
Curtis.
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to get wrapped up in what he's doing. The small sample size argument, I guess, always comes into play. But his energy on the field is so much fun to watch. He always seems, even when he was struggling, he always seems like he is a really positive guy. Like that when Ozzy made that catch last night, he was so jacked up after that. So it's just fun to watch. I'm sure he just completely feeds off that. Maybe there's something to think about, you know, that his energy is so strong that it's like faulty, maybe, that sometimes it can get him sideways and he gets really in his own head. But yeah, I'm going to buy it right now. It's obviously through the roof, so you don't expect that it's going to be quite this dramatic, but why not? Let's believe that he's figured it out, that he went through the darkness of last year and even this spring. I mean, after the spring,
the spring was terrible.
Really starting to doubt what we had, but I'm just going to live off the excitement right now and say fair, sure.
Yeah, exactly. And Ham, like all the things you brought up, they are all very, factual sort of, issues on the ledger to say this is not sustainable, particularly his BABIP and the lack of walks.
Right.
And Kurt, like you said, it's 34 at bats. I mean, that's all we're talking about. But I also have Dansby mania, like we all do. And look, he looks more comfortable at the plate. He is laying off that down and away pitch. Heading into Friday, Bowman had tweeted that he's 5-11 on pitches on the outer third. He batted .221 on those pitches last year. He just looks more comfortable at the plate. So obviously he's not going to bat .382 this year. But I do believe there's a lot of real signs as well that he's just, you know, he has made some adjustments after the league made adjustments on him, and this, you know, he can really be a good hitter. So yes, I am fair. I'm fair.
God, let it be true. Seriously. I mean, because we have seen it before. That's the only thing, is we've seen this before, but like, I don't know, it does feel different. And I feel like I'm with you, Curtis. There's this sort of intangible quality where he just belongs more. I think he's the heart and soul of the team, maybe more than he was that, you know, half year he came up two seasons ago. Oh, but God, let it be true. Let it be true with him and Albies. If both of those guys are who they are showing signs of being, oh, my God.
I know. All right, on the other side of the spectrum,
just to bring
Julio
it down.
Teheran.
Let's pour some water on this conversation a little bit.
So, Curtis, fair or foul, it's time to worry about Julio and the rest of his 2018.
I'm glad I get to lead with this one.
it's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I felt like we were perhaps overreacting to the first start, but the second start was really bad. And you worry that this is going to be a repetition of what we lived through last year with the awful SunTrust Park starts and the good away starts. Foreshadowing. So I know that he hasn't had an away start. He gets two this week, so I sort of want to hold out before I completely commit to throwing him overboard. But if he can't pitch to SunTrust, he's virtually useless to the Braves. So hopefully if they do decide that they finally want to get rid of Tehran, which is unfortunate. I am a huge Tehran fan. I think he's really talented, but for whatever reason, he cannot seem to pitch at SunTrust Park. So maybe when they trade him, some other team will see that he can pitch away from SunTrust Park and maybe just not use him when they come and visit the Braves, or they'll come and bring him and he'll throw a no hitter when he visits SunTrust Park as a Dodger, whatever. Yeah. But I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned that there is something to the fact that he can just not pitch in our home park.
Hammy, how about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same ballpark there. We're going to see starts from him this season where he throws eight innings and gives up two hits and 10 Ks, most likely on the road, you know, most likely against Kershaw in Dodger Stadium or something like that. And he's going to just pull us back in. He's going to want to pull us to believe that maybe there is a number one starter in him somewhere. I think Curtis and I talked last week about Aaron Blair and Whistler and Ruiz and how the door had just shut on those guys, right? And I mean, Tehran is a number three pitcher, a number four pitcher. He's not a number one. And I feel like what we need from him, what we want from him, the door has shut on that. And he will continue to break our hearts. So I worry about him, and I think I'm ready to see him move on.
I mean, he's pitching like a number eight pitcher right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's worthless to the team but so far.
I mean, I think the end of the season, he's 10-10 with a 4 ERA, right? I mean, a zero war.
But I'm more concerned about him than you guys are because his fastball velocity is down. You know, these first two starts, his fastball velocity has been around 89. He's usually 92, 93. So this may be worse than just the SunTrust Park curse that he's under. Mm. You know, I am very worried about Julio. And I'm worried that he's going to get absolutely destroyed in Washington Monday night. Because he doesn't pitch well against the Nats. Harper always has his number. It just feels like a recipe for disaster.
But I wonder. I definitely those are valid concerns. But his fastball was not down in spring training, right? I wonder if he's just – I wonder if it's in his head and he's trying to place the ball a little bit and maybe take some off of it and not just hurling it. And maybe the pitching coach, who I can never remember his name thank you. And one of you will remind me. Like, maybe it's just like let go of that and just throw the ball, right? And so maybe he does that. You know, maybe we get one of those Julio starts where he throws seven and gives up three hits. I feel like foreshadowing for Kurt's shot in the dark. I feel like those things are just as likely to happen.
Is it Leo?
Yeah, that's who it is, right? Leo Mazan.
It's Chuck Hernandez, right?
Yes, I knew that. Yes. I knew that. Okay. I knew it as soon as I said it, then I was going to say something stupid.
Soon as Steve said it.
Yes, exactly. I knew it as soon as Kurt said it. But don't you think, I mean, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, this was not an issue in spring training, which was 3 weeks ago. All of a sudden, it's like we're in the season, he's pitching at SunTrust. I wonder if he's in his head a little bit.
Well, I hope that's all it is, and he can get past it. All right, so guys, left fielder / Ronald Acuna placeholder. Mm-hmm. Preston Tucker has started hot. We talked about him a little bit more earlier. So before Sunday's pinch hit appearance, he was slashing .385, .414, .692. Two homers, two doubles. So Ham, fair or foul?
It's just crazy. Our offense is crazy. Sorry. Continue.
So Ham, fair or foul, if you're the front office, you figure out ways to get him more playing time once Acuna comes up.
I don't know how you do. I just don't know how you do. So let's just go around. So you're not – I mean, when you bring Acuna up, he is your starting left fielder. He is the once-in-a-generation talent. You are not – he is not platooning with Preston Tucker. You don't do that.
Correct.
So then you go to Ender, right? And, you know, Ender is not doing nearly as well as Preston Tucker is, but Ender is – He's the top of the
your
lineup.
Gold Glove,
Gold
center
Glove
fielder.
Center fielder. He's this, you know, second highest WAR on your team. He is the guy. So you're not. I mean, you just don't do that, especially after a guy who's had what 30 at bats. So then you go to Markakis, and you know, I know we talked about there's not, we don't really have a cleanup hitter, but I don't see you taking Markakis out and making Preston Tucker your cleanup hitter. I think Markakis. I personally don't see you platooning Markakis and Preston Tucker. So I don't know how you do. We have four players for three slots, right? Unless you just, you know, go with a three-man infield and a four-man outfield. I just don't know how you do it. So I think it's a nice problem to have. He certainly, you know, I feel Lane Adams is the odd man out in this situation. He certainly has played his way onto the team. I think he's the first bat off the bench. I think it's great to give guys a day off, but I don't know how you do it. So I'm going to say foul. You aren't able to find a way to get him more playing time when Acuña comes up.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to jump in, Kurt. I'm somewhat colored by the fact that I know the front office is not going to take at-bats away from Markakis. They're just not. Even if maybe it would be better for the team that Preston Tucker became your starting right fielder. On the other hand, you know, his BABIP is 400. He obviously has power. He hit 24 homers in AAA last season, mm-hmm. which makes him a very nice piece off the bench.
Right.
You know, he makes the bench much better. So, yeah, I mean, it's a weak fare for me. Maybe instead of one start per week, you find him two just to keep him sort of sharp. But you also want to trade Markakis at the deadline. And, you know, you want to keep him in the lineup so that people see that he can still hit and all that stuff. Curtis?
Well, the Preston Tucker hype is a little out in front of me here. I mean, last year on the major league level, he hit four home runs. I know he's already hit two. He slashed 164, 222, 328. So, you know, it's not Dale Murphy that we're talking about here. It's a guy who's had an amazing start for the Braves and has done great things for the team so far, but he's a guy that sits on your bench.
Yeah.
And can yank one out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's all he is. I know that you sort of want to keep a hot hand in there as much as you can, which is where we are right now. But he's playing because he's got to play because there's not really other options. But they put Lane Adams in the end of the games to be a defensive replacement. But I don't want people to get too super excited about Preston Tucker. I mean, it's great, but let's not get crazy.
Let me ask you guys a sort of follow-on question. Do you guys think there's any way that Markakis plays his way into a new contract with the Braves next year?
Absolutely no scenario where that happens.
330, 20 homers.
Nope. It's just not happening.
For Peterson, making way for Peterson?
Yeah.
Which I would love.
Yeah. But yes, exactly.
Making or Pache. Way for Peterson, I mean, maybe Pache's ready. Maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, he may be more halfway through 19, but it just doesn't make any sense.
What is Markakis makes like 12, something like that?
Yeah, it's basically 11 a year. I mean, this is the fourth year of the $44 million deal.
Let's not overlook what Markakis has done. I know that Preston Tucker's had a great start, but I mean, Markakis has also hit two home runs, is slashing 324, 419, 541. So yeah. It's not like he's not doing anything.
Yeah, no, he's contributing.
Yeah, and he had a really sharp hit ball, and he almost won that game against the Rockies, right? Story robbed him of probably a double and a game winning double ultimately. When Albies was on third. So he's hitting the ball hard, too. I mean, I think his BABIP is lower than those other guys we've talked about. It's more real for Markakis than what Tucker is doing.
And he's just so much fun. God,
he's just so funny. I think that's what you meant to say. Just one joke after the other.
And he loves Snitker.
well, that's true. That is true. All right, guys. Next up is Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right, shot in the dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener shot in the dark from Mickey Hodges, who predicted that Dansby and Albies would combine to hit over 333 this week and commit zero errors. So let's break it down. Dansby went 8 for 20, a cool 400. And Ozzie went 8 for 25, 320, which is a combined batting average of 355. And no errors for either this week. So, Mickey Hodges, congratulations. You hit your shot in the dark. Exactly. And you have the distinction of winning the very first Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie. This is like, seriously, when we're in our 20th season and we're doing trivia about the show,
Mickey Hodges,
so self-absorbed. Yeah, Hodges.
He's in the annals like
the first koozie.
Michael Tucker, first homer at Turner Field. Mickey Hodges, first ABT.
He better bronze that
after koozie.
I don't think it works as well when it's bronze.
Mickey Hodges sounds like a name that from like the 1920s. Philadelphia A's or something like that. That's a great old school baseball name.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. So, Mickey, we will DM you on Twitter and we'll get your details and get that thing mailed out. All right. So let's see how the three of us did this past week. So, Ham, you predicted that the Braves would hit more homers and give up fewer earned runs than the Rockies in the weekend series. The Braves hit 4 homers to the Rockies, 3 homers. And the Braves gave up 6 earned runs. And let's stop there for a second. The Braves gave up 6 earned runs in a 3-game series in Colorado.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
To a really good offensive team.
Yep.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. And the Rockies gave up, of course, because we're the best offense in baseball, 10 earned runs.
Right.
Against the Braves. So, Hammy, nice job. You
Koozie
did it.
For
right
me.
On. That's right. All right, Curtis, you predicted Albies with 7 or more extra base hits this week, and you were close. He had 5, 3 doubles and 2 home runs. I predicted that Folty would give up fewer earned runs and log more strikeouts than Max Scherzer when they matched up earlier in the week. Folty had 1 earned run and 8 strikeouts. Scherzer had 2 earned runs and 7 strikeouts.
Nice.
All right, so Ham and I are both on the board with 1. Curtis still,
Tronic
on the board.
I think it's
the good news is all the koozies are in my basement. So
bronzing, they're getting bronzed.
Yes. You're drinking 4 beers right now with them.
Well, 50 actually. That's I want to use every koozie that I can. Break them in before
Great.
I send
so,
them off.
So
to
I
the
guess
listeners.
We should. It's a caveat. You're getting a used koozie, Mickey Hodges. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a game used.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So, guys, what do you have this week, Hammy?
So, I'm going to really bring us back. Another cold drink of water. Maybe I'm going to use my bad luck for good here. I think Flaherty and Tucker are going to come crashing back to earth. And so I think when we visited the Nats and the Cubs, they hit combined under 250 for the week with 2 or fewer extra base hits. Sorry.
And I like that the Braves and the Pirates, are the feel-good stories of the baseball season so far. And that's your shot in the dark.
Yep. Hey, I'm playing to win.
Okay. No, you have your priorities.
And if they get it right, I don't want a koozie. Is that better?
All right, Curtis, what do you got?
I am going to be positive.
Yay.
Unlike Hamilton.
Yay, positivity.
And I am jumping on the Julio Teheran road train. He gives up 4 earned runs or less in his 2 starts this week.
Oh, man. That may be the pitch blackest shot in the dark we've had in a long time.
Well,
That's
why I've got a house full of koozies.
All right. And I'm going that Freddie, we always never give Freddie enough credit on the show somehow.
Freddie Gonzalez. Yes.
He's doing great work at third.
Yes.
Is he still the Marlins third base coach this year?
I think he is.
Yeah. All right.
I don't follow baseball.
Freddie Freeman hits 4 home runs this week is my shot in the dark. All right, folks. So remember, you get to play too each week. So don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. And you could win an ABT koozie if you hit it exactly. All right. So, guys, let's look at the week ahead. Six games this week, all on the road. And it's pretty brutal. Three against the Nationals and three against the Cubs. So let's take a look at the pitching matchup. So Julio makes his third start of the season to start the week and faces Max Scherzer in his 1.64 ERA. All right, so Kurt, your shot in the dark aside, and Hammy, how many earned runs do you think Julio gives up Monday night against the Nationals? Kurt, for real?
Two.
Okay, you're sticking with your
All right. I think fewer. I think actually what I said. I think something's gonna change. He's gonna relax, start throwing the ball harder, being himself, and we're gonna win Monday night.
All right, I say he gets up four earned runs.
425.
Exactly. All right. Next up is Folty versus Strasburg with his 3.65 ERA. And yeah, Folty, guys, we didn't give him enough credit this week too. What a start that was. In Atlanta against the Nationals to outpitch Scherzer. I mean, it was really, you know, Folty delivers those brilliant, brilliant starts, and that was another one. I mean, yeah. He was
and
great
a double.
And a double. And God, Folty is so bad at the plate to just luck into that hit. So great. Okay, and then where are we? So the team finishes up in Washington with a day game on Wednesday with Brandon McCarthy, who was also damn brilliant in Colorado in his second start. He faces A.J. Cole and his 24.55 ERA.
Thanks to the Braves.
Thanks to the Braves, exactly, who he gave up 10 earned runs against. All right, on to Wrigley, where Anibal Sanchez, who was also brilliant in Colorado, better than McCarthy. I mean, Anibal really pitched a hell of a game. His second start of the season, he'll face new Cub Yu Darvish and his 5.23 ERA. In the second game in Chicago, Newcomb faces Jose Quintana and his 4.5 ERA. And the Braves finish up the week. It'll be Julio's second start. He faces Tyler Chatwood and his 1.5 ERA. So, Kurt, thoughts on the record this week? How much magic continues?
Yeah, kiss of death here. 4-2. Oh. Two and one.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm in the same place as you. Hammy, what do you got?
I'm in the same place.
I know you're going to say 0-6. No, sorry, 1-5 because of Julio's start in Washington.
Listen, I was picked 4-2 last week knowing that we had lost the game against the Nationals when we recorded the show. So right. Give me a little love, Steve. Okay. I showed up. 5-1 in your face.
Wow, man.
All right, so which
series? God, it'd be so great.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll go 4-2. So speaking of...
I'll send you a koozie if we go 5-1.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It would be great to be one of the hosts of the show to actually find a way to get one of those koozies.
You should be nicer.
Okay. All right. I'll work on it.
So, you know, as we are recording this Sunday night, it's middle of the sixth. In Washington, the Nationals are down 5-4 to the Mets.
The Mets? Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprising. They're doing better than I thought they would.
And every Nationals loss is a good day.
That's true.
I mean, it just really is. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our past shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.